Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Welcome back, everybody, to another planning episode and behind the scenes look at Cosmic Crit 2.0. This is the only Starfinder second edition show that you need to know. This universe's only actual play whose name you need to say. This is the 8 year strong powerhouse of a pod, and we're very excited to be back coming into this next new adventure. This is your game master for the series of the podcast. My name is Patrick, and I'm joined by the often imitated, wholly original, never replaceable Rebecca. Welcome, Rebecca, to the podcast.
Hello, it's good to be here as always.
Yeah, man, it's nice to talk to you without those four other knuckleheads, is what I calls them. To be fair, to your husband, to some of these other gentlemen that we play with, each of them by themselves is quite delightful, actually. But you put them together, and it's a bit much.
Man, you're really selling this podcast.
Yeah, well, no, you and I even out
we the temperament. We hold it together, right?
Yeah, exactly. The glue, the fabric of this show. No, these one-on-one episodes have been a lot of fun. I'm not sure where this comes, where we're publishing this one, but we're doing them all around the same time within about a week or so of each other. And it's very nice to just talk to everybody on the podcast one-on-one. And to be fair, in 8 years of doing the seasons 1 through 5, we've never had a one-on-one recording before we made characters. We've had it all done via text, basically. Shared Word documents and direct messages and things like that. So it's nice to be able to chat. This is not something I typically do in any of my games, so it's a breath of fresh air. I hope you feel the same way. Before we get too far in the weeds, Rebecca, just how are you doing tonight? How's everything going?
Pretty good. I'm tired. We just got back from Dragon Con earlier this week. So yeah,
big week.
I'll tell you, this was the first Dragon Con that I attended after turning 40, and I felt it. I felt my age.
Yeah, did you get a count of your steps per day?
You know, I need to look that up. I was wearing my watch most of the time, so I'm sure that I have a step count somewhere, but it didn't help that our hotel was like down a hill, so every time we went to or from our hotel, we had to walk up a hill.
Yeah, so, not the hills that you're talking about.
It was a lot. I had to use Drew's foot massager yesterday. I was like, my feet really hurt, so.
It was like 5,000 degrees in Atlanta as well.
No, actually, we lucked out this year. We had really good weather. And despite the fact that it has rained every day this summer, it did not rain at all this weekend. And yet was like, you know, highs in the 80s, like not bad at all for Atlanta.
For Atlanta in August. Yeah. I guess the end of August, it's not too bad. But
I've had much, much hotter Dragon Cons in my past. So
I will say 3 years ago when my wife and I were there last, it was actually not that hot. Not as hot as I expected it to be. Because the previous time she had been down there was like for your guys' wedding when it was a billion degrees.
On the summer solstice, yes. We were married on the summer solstice in the middle of
Georgia. Most humid and hot summer I can recall of many summers in the South. Well, that's good. I hope you can rest up this weekend. It's nice to have a whenever there's a large convention like that, I've taken to scheduling another day after the convention for recovery, just knowing I go hard during the conventions as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I should do that. I should learn sometime. This time, I took the Wednesday before off, so I kind of had a personal day before the convention. So that's not very helpful for recovery.
No.
So maybe next year.
Rebecca, we're poised here. We're on the precipice of starting a brand new series of adventures with new characters, recording this in September of 2025 right now. And this is 8 full years after the start of the podcast in 2017. Has this convinced you, this upcoming series, one that we're about to start, that we are going to be playing Starfinder indeed the rest of our lives?
I mean, that's the way it's headed, right?
I'm looking forward to Starfinder 3rd edition. I don't know what that's going to look like, but whenever that comes.
It's only 10 years away.
Yeah, I mean, put that in the time capsule. Put that on your calendar. 2035 Starfinder. They should really do it every 8 years, because that would be 2033. Third edition in 33. Let's talk a little bit before we get super into your character. Talk about the drafts we had a few weeks ago here on the podcast. You were not excited. Is this correct about the draft at first? Because we had been talking about the system we were going to use for the draft, the points and whatnot, and you had already kind of made the character that you wanted to play. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I did create it with the system in mind. Like, given the point system and what I was going to be able to choose, but I was not super excited about doing the draft because I was very scared that one of my choices was going to be taken and I would be, it would blow all of my plans. Mm-hmm. And it was very nerve wracking. However,
worked out.
I played the game and it worked out and I got all my choices and I was very excited. And I will say I had a surprising amount of fun doing the draft.
We had multiple people rolling randomly. So, I mean, there was a chance someone could have rolled the Vesk ancestry randomly, and if that had happened, do you think the character concept that you had landed on would have worked with another ancestry?
I don't know. I think I could probably make it work, but my deity would have to change. Like, so much about the character would have to change. Like, I had kind of settled into, like, this is kind of the only combo that's speaking to me at the moment. So
it could have been
it would have taken some adjustment.
You could have been a battle saint, Demoritosh worshiper, Skittermander again.
actually, there is a battle saint. Is it a Skittermander that is not a Vesk, and they made them a saint to message to other ancestries that anyone can be a champion of Demoritosh? And
well, then maybe we should go back. First. Maybe we should go back to the drawing board, get rid of Vesk. I think originally you had also talked about maybe like a Kasathan or something like that. So I didn't know if you had like
a
tier list of what you would have picked if you had not gotten Vesk.
Yeah, and maybe I would have fallen back on Kasathan because that was my initial thought. Should I say what my class was? Because I chose my class first, which is not unusual for me. But
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was super dangerous, like someone randomly rolling the champion class, but did you have a backup for that as well? Or
no, because I was pretty sure that I was going to be able to keep champion, but yeah, I chose champion first. And yeah, thinking back, because it's been a while now, but originally I was like, champion could be cool. And I think part of it is that I just wanted to choose a class that was a Pathfinder class. Like, for some reason, that just, I wanted to do that. For one thing, I've really enjoyed my time in Pathfinder. For another thing, I haven't been super thrilled with the Starfinder classes in general. And this was an opportunity to, you know, play a Pathfinder class, but you could use the mechanics of the class, but the, you know, ancestry and everything around it, like the setting and everything, make it very Starfinder. So I was interested in seeing how well the two translated, I guess. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I chose champion first. And yes, originally I was thinking Kasatha could be cool. But as I looked into Kasatha, they just kind of seemed boring and set in their ways. And I wasn't inspired when I was reading about the Kasatha ancestry. So started looking elsewhere and it landed on Vesk. And it just kind of, the puzzle pieces just kind of fell into place, you know? Mm-hmm.
The current Kasatha meta story is they are going to, I think, leave the pact system. The Adari is going to leave. So there's some different stories you could tell there. But there's, I mean, let's get into it and start talking about the character choices that you did make and talk about the Vesk, because there's a whole bunch of very interesting stuff happening with the Vesk and the Veskarium. First question for you is, you know, what drew you to the Vesk originally? Was it the total character concept because you were going with champion or what?
Yeah, I think there are a few reasons. For one thing, you only have so many ancestries in the Starfinder setting to choose from at the moment. since we don't yet have the Alien Archive for second edition.
And a lot more than I thought we were going to have kind of at launch. So yeah, I'm happy. Fair.
But I don't know. I really like Dedross.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give Tyler some credit there. And I also really enjoyed playing my orc in, and I realized that orc, I'm not trying to, you know, insult either orcs or Vasks if it's weird to draw a comparison there. But I don't know, I kind of liked playing the hulking, large female character in our Pathfinder game.
Yep.
And so I thought that it would be a good fit for a champion, you know, very melee heavy sort of character as well. So.
Just a reminder, she's talking, of course, about the podcast Dead Man Roll No Crits, our Pathfinder 2nd Edition playthrough of Skull and Shackles, where one of two characters that you had was indeed a orc barbarian.
She was wonderful.
Big, bulky barbarian. Vesk probably kind of fill a similar role as far as ancestries go in Starfinder. I've compared them with you and explained them to other folks, maybe to the Klingons of the Star Trek universe for Starfinder. The Veskar, they were once hated enemies of the Pact Worlds. They were invading, they were fighting, and then they were turned into allies. And now it kind of seems like there's a little Cold War-ish dealings with the Pact Worlds. They're still somewhat antagonistic, and maybe because the most recent thing that's happened in the story is one of the planets within the core system of the Veskarium has broken off, seceded in armed conflict at first, and then has petitioned, I believe, to join the Pact Worlds. The cat folk planet of Polonus, the Patra people, have kind of broken off, and they were under Vesk rule for, I imagine, a very long time in universe. So yeah, war loving folks, they worship a god of war, you know. And while we don't have the divisions in modern Pathfinder and Starfinder of good versus evil, lawful, chaotic, that kind of thing, I mean, think of all the gods of war in real life and in fiction that you've heard of. You know, they're kind of aggressive. Usually they're all about, you know, getting the job done. And the Vesk, I think, from the top down, at least their military kind of style is very similar. Are you excited about playing someone that is like a devotee of the Veskarium's primarily, you know, warlike religion, Demoritosh, yeah, and the Battle Saints?
Yeah, so when I was doing some research into, and I was doing research in both Starfinder 1E, because it still has valuable, you know, setting information and whatever, and I found some inspiration when I was reading, of course, reading about Demoritosh. It's like Demoritosh is just kind of pure evil, right? Like, it's all about conquest and tyranny and just kind of taking over. And like, yeah, I guess you can find ways to justify that aren't pure evil, but it didn't really speak to me. But then when I was reading about the battle saints that the Vesk have, and sort of the wide array of them that are, you're still a devotee of Demoritosh, but can kind of use these battle saints as a proxy to color your relationship with Demoritosh, I guess, is the way I'm looking at it. And so the way I've been thinking about this character is she is a devotee of Demoritosh and has been trained in the Vesk ways and believes in the Vesk ways, is proud to be a Vesk, is you know, believes in, at least to some degree, the Veskarium mission or whatever, or at least her interpretation of it or what she's been taught. But at the same time, I want to play around with how she can walk the line between being proud to be a Vesk and not necessarily boxing herself in by what she's always been taught. So like, I saw the battle saints in particular in the first edition rules, like setting, they talked about Yogash, which is a battle saint that the Veskarium has not advertised why she has been made a battle saint. And she's a new battle saint, and her sainthood is just kind of shielded in mystery. And I found a lot of inspiration in that because my mind started going all kinds of places. Like, what? How would someone who is questioning the Vescarium, as you know, a young person who has been taught in the Vescarium ways, but is maturing and realizing that maybe that's not the only answer. Maybe, you know, especially with all of the conflict with the Pact Worlds and, like, you know, the Patra planet breaking away and things like that. I think that all of these things are things that might make her question the teachings. And so Yogesh is sort of an entryway for her to let her mind sort of wander outside of that box that she's always been taught to stay in and interpret what to her Yogesh's sainthood might mean. So, like, why would the Vescarium be keeping her sainthood reasons a secret? Why, like, what could they be hiding? What could Yogesh be espousing that they don't want to advertise, but at the same time want to exalt her to sainthood? Like, I think that there's a lot of contradiction and questioning to be had in that. And yeah, I just saw it as sort of a door to opportunity for that kind of line of thinking. And I think it would be an interesting line to sort of walk of, like, being a proud Vesk, but also being open to collaboration. Like, can she find a way to continue to be a devotee of Demoratash while also valuing collaboration as much as conquest? I think it would be an interesting sort of character arc potentially. And it's interesting that you bring up, what are they called? I'm not a Star Trek fan. That's my husband's thing. You're muted.
Oh, God, I've been talking for so long. I was about to say, you at least know what the Klingons are.
Yeah, the Klingons. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so the Klingons. You bring up the Klingons, and I think that it's an interesting point because, like, and again, I'm not a Star Trek fan, but Worf, like, Worf works on mm-hmm. the Enterprise, you know, and he's a Klingon and is a valuable part of the team, you know, and I don't think that he doesn't, you know, reject the Klingon ways or the Klingon, you know, traditions and things like that. And yet he isn't evil. You know what I mean?
No, like, and no, but he is warlike. Like, is, you know, he's pretty much, you know, die in battle. It's an honorable way to go. Exactly. Putting a pin, yeah. We'll talk more about your potential character motivations, but I think there is only, like, a paragraph about Yogesh the Willed, if that. It's like half a paragraph about Yogesh.
Oh, I've turned it into many paragraphs.
In the AP. But if you're looking for a way, a character reason, it's like, well, why would my best character be willing to work with, you know, these other weirdos that the other characters have made? I think you've given yourself an answer there. It's like, well, what if Yogesh was famous for working with other peoples, you know, like, had a team of rivals kind of thing going on, and maybe that's one of the reasons why she was kind of has, like, some redacted style history about her ascension. I wanted to bring up the there is a very small section about the battle saints in the new Starfinder role playing book. And I'm realizing I have the physical book very close by. I could just open it up. I think it's right here. Oh, gosh. Let's see. I hope it's not in the galaxy guide and I'm going to be spending forever to move through this core.
It's in the deities section.
Core rule books. Yes, it's at the very end where there's, like, not just deities, but also, like, philosophies. And
yep.
Get your copy at paizo.com. Oh, it's pretty early on. Page 35 is religion in here. Gonna be flipping for a long time. And Demoratash is one of the first ones to come up, but if you go a couple pages, the Battle Saints have, it looks like, three paragraphs, and I don't think Yogesh is mentioned in the 2E book. No.
Yeah, that's correct, which makes me nervous. Did they intentionally take Yogesh out?
Well, I think when they leave, like, very open and stuff like that, they are doing it mostly for people to make their own hooks. But, you know, maybe we'll see expanded material about Battle Saints in another adventure path. But the edicts listed in the book to potentially go by for devotees of the Battle Saints are never give up. That's a pretty easy one. That's actually, I think I just got that on a fortune cookie the other day. It was never give up. Honor fallen comrades. Pretty easy. And celebrate victory. Yeah, yeah. None of those are particularly evil. The anathema for Battle Saints worshippers are fight alone when companions could help, betray your allies, or show weakness to your enemies. So right there, you have some character options of like why you would work with a team. But you could also have a superiority complex and be like, they will fail without me. You know, there's no way that they could work.
I mean, why not both? You know, like, I don't want to reject her Veskness. She is young and has been only trained in the Vesk ways. And I think there's probably a bit of naivete as she's, you know, breaking out and forming a team with these other weirdos for the first time, probably in her life, you know, given that she was rather sheltered in the Vescarium, I would expect. And perhaps fed it a lot of propaganda.
Let's talk about the class next. You got Champion, which you weren't worried about because it was three of your character creation points for a Pathfinder class, even though multiple people have picked Pathfinder classes. But it's one of the ones I was least worried about because there's not much mechanically that I don't think can easily kind of be ported over to Starfinder. Trying to bring
it's a space paladin. I've just turned it into a space paladin.
Yeah, but I will say
in trying to put together my character sheet today, for anyone else out there who is trying to do this, I discovered that the Pathfinder rulebook as written, or at least the edition I have, is totally out of date. So go online to the SRD.
Yeah, there's Pathfinder second edition and Pathfinder remastered, or you know, second edition revised, that does things just a little bit differently, but for the most part,
well, it was interesting. I mean, I have like the very first edition, so it still has a lot of the, you know, the modifiers and all that stuff, but also for Champion in particular, the causes that are listed in the book no longer really exist. Like there's a paladin, for instance, in the book that it was taken up right, like,
yeah,
and has been replaced in later editions. And I mean, obviously there are additional causes to choose from now as well, but causes were really a struggle for me because I had this idea of who this character was and like, I mean, all the stuff I was just talking about, right? And trying to find a cause that was not too hardlined. It felt like all of the causes I could go super duper evil and like try to cheat everybody or whatever, and it's like that is definitely not where I want to go. Or I can go like I'm gonna liberate all the slaves, and it's like I need something in between those two things, right? Like
I would say you can focus the causes against enemies, and that's one thing that I feel like people say. It's like, oh, you can't play evil characters if in a party where not everyone is evil. And I was like, you totally can. You just can't be evil to your allies. Like they're there to help you. It would make no sense if you would, you know, lie, cheat, or steal someone that you're like someone you consider an employee, you know, that you want to be there to help you. And I think evil people in playing evil player characters is a lot of fun, mostly because for the most part you are focusing your evil character towards more evil people out in the world that are, you know, trying to start a star destroyer, you know, planet killer kind of thing. And whether, you know, you are jealous of them or you just think that they're kind of jerks, I think it's fun. For champions used to be called paladins and Pathfinder first edition. It now incorporates holy causes for holy champions, people that are what you would consider good, you know, causes that are good. There are unholy ones, which are, you know, like usually for evil or deities. And then there are some just kind of neutral ones that we would, I guess, associate with lawfulness, neutral and chaotic kind of worldviews. So you didn't want to go for a goody two shoes or a completely evil cause? Did you pick one of these in the middle?
Yeah, I ultimately decided on justice. Is that what I decided on?
Mm-hmm.
Justice. Because I felt like I could justify to myself, you know, that she's a champion of justice in that it's abiding by the law as she understands the law to be. And that, I think, opens her up to potential change over the course of the story, because her idea of what is lawful, what is, you know, worth upholding justice for could potentially shift. I think at the start, it's maybe she's a little more hardlined than I would ultimately like her to be about, you know, this is the Vesk way. This is law according to the Vescarium, and we're going to uphold law according to the Vescarium and according to my deity and according to the way that I have been taught all my life.
Yeah,
but perhaps that changes, you know, because everyone
that
changes.
Is just one step away from, I think, classically where the Moritash is. And I feel like the Battle Saints would be lawful neutral evil, or lawful evil, you know, in some ways. So I think you would find other saints are completely sadistic Vesk battle saints, or, you know, someone in the middle, like, you know, maybe there's more like mediators that can get raised up to the battle saint kind of sainthood. Because, you know, and like we said, I don't think it's fair to paint Klingons as all just warlike folk. And it's always an in joke with Star Trek fans, is like they had to have some rational minded scientists, you know, in the Klingon Empire, because they were able to develop a warp engine and yeah, get off the planet and stuff. So there's got to, you know, take all kinds. And I often think about, like, you know, obviously the ruling class in like World War II in Japan were very right wing and very like, let's take over the earth. But there was like a whole other, you know, class and party that was just like, can we not do this? You know, it wasn't everyone in Japan that was gung-ho. And I mean, just like any nation, I don't know, I'll just throw one out there that's on the top of my head. Like the U.S. right now is not everyone in the right. U.S. is like super stoked about the policies happening. So yeah, the cause of justice is right there in the middle, and I think is, you have a good retributive strike as a reaction, which you can use a lot. It's not as powerful as some of the holy and unholy ones, but I think it's a good, I mean, I think it's still going to be very powerful. I'm just guessing you have the option. I'm guessing you're going with a strength-based champion, because you can pick strength or dex as your primary.
Yeah, I'm going with strength for sure. It's the way I have it built right now, I have more in constitution than strength, but I might swap that.
Oh my.
I like tanking, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's something you can easily do with a champion, le champion. But that makes sense because, like I said, I think everyone else has picked a different attribute as their kind of primary one, but multiple people are going to be dex as first or second. Do you, I know this is a little early, but do you see yourself wielding a Doshko?
For sure.
Holy...
Well, I think I kind of have to, because Demoritash is a Doshko.
Well, you can, you know, like I said, there's like two sentences about Yogesh the Willed. So if you want to pick a different weapon that Yogesh was known for,
maybe your secondary weapon could be classic.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe. I was leaning toward a Doshko for my melee, for like my primary weapon. I mean, looking at our party makeup, I guess it depends on how the Solarian and operative are built, but
they're both going,
you know, none of the rest of these guys are not beefy.
Oh, I can tell you they're both going dex based kind of melee. But no, the Solarian is constitution is their primary attribute. So
That's a change. Okay.
Kind of equally. Yes. A little bit of a change. Whereas instead of focusing on like three stats, I think you really just gotta do two for Solarian now. Constitution and either strength or dex, depending on what you want to do.
Well, let me ask you, would you recommend that I lean more into the strength?
Yeah, because I don't think anyone else is going to be primarily focused on strength. So I think that will definitely set your character apart. Okay. And yeah, especially if you're a big melee swing, and that champion cause you a good reaction strike if you're trying to protect your allies.
Oh, I will say also that I went with the Warblood heritage, which gives me Vesk unarmed attacks for free. So I'm going to be back up. I have claws and I have jaws, so I can bite people and I can swipe people.
Super duper.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the character. Last of all here, at least at the beginning, I imagine you'll be fairly, you know, involved with the cause of the Vescarium. They have, like I was mentioning, kind of maybe part of their mandate is to, conquer other peoples, but then they become very protective of those peoples. And I think I also kind of thought about that in their dealings in the season 5 of Cosmic Crit, was they wanted to come in and take over New Galarion and just station a massive army on it and above it to kind of lay claim and protect it. But yeah, most recently the Patra rebelled, split off in their own government. Do you think your character, and spoiler warning, I think have the lionizing incident that killed Yogesh have happened on Polonus? It makes sense because that's like their most recent military kind of conflict. Do you think she'll have strong feelings about this incident, about Patra in general? Because we're going to have a Patra in our party.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I'm so torn. I don't like creating immediate conflict between player characters because it makes it difficult when you have to work together, you know? But if we can... I don't know. I think she would be... Going back to what I was saying before, like, I do think that she is trying to break out of the thinking that she's been taught to have. And perhaps knowing that Yogesh died in that war, she might start theorizing about what might her role have been, you know? And and maybe it is. I mean, if she's leaning toward, well, let's find ways that this could justify collaboration as opposed to conquest and tyranny, then, you know, maybe she makes up a story in her head of like Yogesh trying to help the Patra or trying to, you know, getting caught in the crosshairs. And yeah, I mean, thinking like, why would the Vescarium try to cover this up? I mean, like, she must have died honorably or else she wouldn't be given sainthood. What are the circumstances of her death? I think there's a lot to play with there. I'll have to think about it.
What if
maybe we can talk offline about it?
This is a big question mark, but what if the thing that the Vesk are honoring about Yogesh is she like killed the enemy commander, and that enemy commander was Miles's character's dad?
Oh no. But my dad is an enemy commander. Yeah.
Your dads hate each other.
Our dads probably do hate each other.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that maybe Miles' character have fought against the Vescarium or, you know, was involved in some way. But, you know, that was a few years prior. So there's been time for some dust to settle, I think, with that. But yeah, if your characters don't outright hate one another, it'll be very funny if one of you at least hated the other. But you could have like a Legolas and Gimli kind of relationship of seeing who was the better, or maybe thinking the other one's kind of a thick jerk. Other questions to think about for your character? You know, I feel of all the folks that I've talked to here on the podcast, you're probably the most that's just like ready to jump in immediately. But we can talk offline about Yogesh. I think a good, and I'm going to suggest this to everyone, Achilles heel for your character would be kind of like a blind devotion to like what the Vescarium says or does. In years past, the weaknesses of a lot of characters usually came from their ability scores, but I don't think anyone's going to have, well, I guess some people might have negative attributes, negative ability scores.
I have negative wisdom.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, you believe anything anyone tells you. Will of -1 will be the new int of 8. Oh yeah, I have a lot of things I was going to suggest about, I think, the cause that you picked, but I have written in my notes, I think justice fits the Vesk very well. It's kind of like a good middle one. I feel like a lot of folks that worship Dabomirtash could like cling on to just the lawfulness aspect of the god. Yeah, one thing I want to, we've already talked about as well, is taking bits and pieces from characters that you've liked to play in the past and kind of layering them in a little bit, whether that be Sharga from Deadman Rono Crits, or you haven't really played too many other big bruisers in Starfinder, right? Like, I guess.
No, I guess not.
Asher and Sky would probably be the bulkiest. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that we'll be able to talk about when I have more information about the adventure, as we're recording this, the Guilt of the Grave World, which we're going to be playing, still has not to come out, but you can still think of this in general terms. You know, what's your agenda for adventuring? Is it to get status? Is it to get money? Is it to get experience? If they need money, like, what's the money for? Is it to pay someone off? Or do you want, you know, to get a certain amount before you start a bar or whatever? Do you have any ideas for your character?
Yeah, I think it's mostly experience. So I have in my character backstory that she has two older brothers, one of whom has followed in their father's military footsteps, and the other has broken away entirely from the Vescarium. And I think that she's struggling with which of those paths or some other paths she wants to take, and sees this expedition, if you will, as an opportunity to get some experience, get off of Vescarium, maybe learn some stuff, maybe make some money, you know, make her own way. I think she wants to not be... I think she's self-aware enough to realize that she doesn't want to just blindly follow the Vescarium. She wants to believe in the Vescarium or believe in Dabomirtash or whatever it is, you know. But to do that, she needs to prove to herself through new experiences that are not within that bubble that that's the right path or not, right? As yeah. The case may be.
So. I guess the final question is, one of the things is like societal factors that weigh on your character. Do you think that you are, or Dabomirtash or the battle saints of Yogesh, do you think your character is pushy about their religion? Like telling everyone that we'll listen? Or is it like a guarded thing? Like, we shouldn't be advertising our secret patron gods or deity, demigods, whatever they're, the battle saints, like that is for the Vesk or the Vescarium.
I think it's a little more the latter, especially given her perhaps questioning of things. But I think that there's a bit of pride in being a Vesk and being a part of this belief system, if you will. And yeah, I think she's a little bit of a contradiction, because yes, while she clearly is latching on to elements of her religion that celebrate collaboration and other viewpoints and things like that, at the same time, I think she is very, very, again, proud to be a Vesk and proud of her upbringing and you know, where she comes from, to the point that I don't think that she would be proselytizing. Like, I don't think she's going out as a missionary to bring others to, you know, the Dabomirtash ways. I think that this is a Vesk thing. Let us have our Vesk thing, at least to some extent. But it definitely does guide her, you know, her personal actions and relationships.
Makes sense to me. I feel like main Dabomirtash kind of worshippers are... They're more proselytizing than maybe some other religions in Starfinder, but it's more like showing off. Like, we beat you because our god said it was totally cool that we did that. We conquered you because the Dabomirtash says it's totally all right. We're getting into Vesk heaven. Well, and
I imagine, you know, and now we will wield our devotion to Dabomirtash to protect you little ones who cannot possibly know the greatness of this god, right?
To be fair, the Skittermanders needed conquering immediately. They would have been like the dodos if the Vesk hadn't taken them under their wing.
You're probably right.
Can you imagine if the swarm had got to the Skittermanders?
They would have helped them.
Wiped out to a T, yeah. All right, well, that is going to do it for this episode. Just to give folks a little inkling of where you're going with your character, I know you've already written up some potential names for this character, Rebecca. You don't have to share them yet. They're not finalized until we announce them on the podcast, but if you want to say your name, you can. It's not required.
I'll wait.
Nobody has yet, so it's fine. I think Tyler mentioned he was just gonna like look up historical figures that maybe have like a bearing on his character, and I was like, that is a historian nerd thing to say, Tyler. But yeah, that is gonna do it for us. How excited are you to get into this adventure?
I'm very excited, but I'm still a little bit daunted by finishing my character sheet. So I'll be more excited once that's done.
For when we're recording this, we probably have about a month before that. So I think you have plenty of time. Not necessarily the most time we've ever had in making characters, but I think we're starting off at a better base, having kind of done the draft and everyone saw what each other was making and can get excited for other people and maybe making those bonds with other people before we even get to recording. That's going to do it for this special planning episode. Thank you for being here with me, Rebecca.
Thank you, Patrick.
Listeners, thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with some more pre-series 1 Cosmic Crit 2.0 action. So long.
Night.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.